Hello, and welcome to Iacon Underground Radio for the week of May the 24th, 2024. I'm Jen.
And I'm David. Welcome back to Robot NPR.
Wait, don't tell me the spoilers about the latest cartoons.
Is it? Wait.
It's car talk. It's always just car talk.
Oh, you're going to car talk, but you said, wait, don't tell me, which is another podcast, I think.
No, it's an NPR show.
Oh, it is? Oh, God.
Yes.
I am not sure I've ever listened to any NPR, actually.
What? Madness. Anyway.
Is it on, like, regular radio? Or is it just podcasts?
It's on regular radio.
I haven't listened to regular radio since, like, 20... No, the year 2000.
I mean, it's on my Sirius XM that I get because I live in the sticks.
Okay, so it'll be in the car.
It will be in the car, sir.
Okay.
Oh, it will be in the car. Speaking of things that will be on in the car when we are driving to Toronto for TFCon Canada. So this week, as a follow-up to last week's surprise drop of the Beast Machine score, Hasbro announced ahead of time this time that they will be releasing the Beast Wars score. So that is that's pretty exciting news.
Yay.
We actually, a friend of ours, years and years ago, actually separated out the audio for Beast Wars and, like, put it on a CD and handed it out to friends. And there was a note in the liner notes that said that by accepting the CD, you were required to purchase this music if it was ever commercially available.
And I do.
Actually, I put a note like that in the compiler's notes to the ebook that I made of the Transformers Legends anthology. So, yes. So I am contractually required by accepting that CD to purchase this, which I will be doing, I assume. Now, it is going to be on all the streaming services. I assume that, like the Beast Machines one, it will probably be available to purchase at least on iTunes. I don't know what music purchasing options are available on non-Apple products anymore, since I guess they got rid of the Google Play Music Store.
Possibly, Amazon has used to?
Probably Amazon.
I have bought MP3s off of Amazon, but it has been years.
So yes, we will be ripping that while driving down the road in my Subaru. Sadly, not as fun to beatbox as the opening music to Beast Machines. Oh. Womp it up, womp it up, womp. Though there have been some complaints that Beast Machines didn't actually have the opening music on that soundtrack, because that is separately available by the original artist. So create playlist, look up Fat Planet by Left Field, add to playlist, and then add the rest of the album to playlist, and there you go. Now you have the complete Beast Machine soundtrack. But Beast Wars, by the same composer, but a lot more electric guitars and a little less industrial. It is going to be available for the first time on June 28th. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. That show, there's a lot of good stuff about that show, and the music was definitely one of the excellent things about Beast Machine, or about Beast Wars and Beast Machines, but Beast Wars. So that is exciting upcoming news. As for things that are not upcoming, now this has not been officially announced yet, but apparently some Hasbro rep in Australia was being interviewed and said that Reactivate, the probably free-to-play video game that's coming out, is probably, sounds like it's going to be pushed to 2025.
At least that's a date it's coming out. I didn't even realize it had a previous supposed maybe date of this year.
Yeah, they were saying it was going to go into beta this year. And now they're saying it's pushed to 2025. I know there are a lot of people who are questioning whether it's ever going to come out, especially since they already put out the toys for it.
Yes.
But also, that's video game... I mean,
I mentioned previously, like, the toys coming out is a better step than the last games.
Good video games take a long time to develop.
Yeah, see Baldur's Gate. But this is a gacha game.
See Elder Scrolls 7, which is never, or 6, or six. Whichever one is after Skyrim that's never going to
whatever Skyrim 2 is going to be called.
They can't stop re-releasing Skyrim.
Well, they at this point, they kind of keep having to.
God, I love Skyrim, though.
Did it just come out on the Switch or something?
It came out on the Switch years ago.
Oh, what was that? I thought there was a new thing that came out on recently.
I don't know, probably... It actually did come out on Amazon Alexa, but that was very much like a novelty, like you played it by voice commands. It was ridiculous.
Oh, wow. For Skyrim, that would be amazing. Because I remember some old fun games you could play, like by voice commands on like the Dreamcast or something. Anyway.
So that continues to be put off. We are still waiting to see if that is a thing that's really going to exist, but I mean, it's video games do take time to develop. Not shoveling it out in a hurry could be a good sign, or it could be sign of, you know, going the same path as the MMO that turned into a MOBA that turned into vaporware.
Yeah, that is a problem. Is it like with Baldur's Gate 3? It's like push it back further to finish quality so it's actually done when it's done. Or it could just be production problems of we've had to restart the game 3 times on different software. Or maybe they've downsized the crew making the game to itty bitty at this point and it's just not working.
Yeah, that's not great.
Who knows?
So we'll
video
see.
Games are weird.
I mean, I Big am video games are weird. Not a fan of anything that's microtransaction driven.
Yeah, no.
So we shall see. Before we dive into a bunch of toy news and then a little bit of comic talk, we regret to, hear that about the passing of Don Perlin, who was one of the primary illustrators on the original Marvel Transformers comic. Actually, it seems like when Hasbro announces those comic series toys... It's a curse of doom, because they did the Shockwave one, and that artist died. And Don Perlin is known well for that art, well, for the whole story that Straxus was in. The excellent Smelting Pool and Bridge to Nowhere 2 issues.
Yeah.
So, now he's passed away, now that we're getting a Straxus toy. Maybe he just needed to live long enough... for there to be a Straxus toy.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's weird timing.
I would be like that. Also, he drew the Car Wash of Doom story.
Oh, I freaking love that one. I was thinking about that one earlier today, that, like, I was just generally thinking about, like, going to the con and, like, what comics get people to sign. And it's like, man, Budiansky wrote just, like, some really good comics back then.
He
and
did.
Car Wash of Doom is like one of the best.
It's solid. Yeah. It genuinely is a solid story. I mean, I've reread a lot of that over the past couple years since I got an iPad, and yeah, it's pretty solid stuff. Once you know, it had some growing pains at the very start, and in the middle, he kind of was obviously getting tired of Hasbro telling him to sell more toys and write less about that one guy who we invented the concept of short packing because no one knows what a Honda City Turbo
is.
Yeah,
it's like there's things we bring up all the time. But yeah, the man, introducing new toys is like the best and the worst thing for Transformers. It's like, we want new characters, but can you stick to a story? Which is why, we get to modern comics later.
But yeah, that's notable. You know, go to the wiki and take a look at the list of issues that he did, and there are some real gems in there. So, toy news. First real short one, Tidal Wave is shipping, so if you have Tidal Wave on pre-order anywhere, gird your credit card.
Yay. Is he coming out at retail? Or was he just a, like, Pulse and Amazon exclusive or whatever?
I mean...
What? Oh, yeah, because he's
don't
a Titan.
Think...
Did the other Titan big guys come out?
Well...
I think I saw the arc.
So I know...
I forget if I ever saw the Nemesis in a store.
I'm pretty sure I saw the arc, like, literally one time at Walmart, and yeah. Then it was gone. Nemesis...
I think I saw it a few times.
Nemesis, they did intentionally dial down the production numbers on. Because there was just too much clearance going on with the earlier
yeah.
ones. So Nemesis did have lower production numbers. Mm-hmm. I certainly never saw her in a store, but my local stores don't tend to carry a lot of stuff at that price point anyway.
Mm.
I don't know that I've seen any Titans at my Target, and Walmart can be hit or miss just depending on how much they're stocking for the holidays.
Because yeah, lately I've just been like trying to find toys in stores instead of pre-ordering everything online. Unless it's something I really, really
yeah,
want.
It's probably not going to work so well with Titans. Mm. At this point, it's a good idea to pre-order Titans. I don't know. I haven't checked to see if there are any... open availability for shock or for Tidal Waves. I guess I could pull up Amazon real quick and be like, hey, do you have Tidal Wave? And I could misspell it and Google can still know what I'm talking about.
Oh, right. That's why I didn't do it, because of the price. Well, apparently you can still pre-order on Hasbro Pulse, at least.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like Amazon, if you wanted to go that route, don't go that route. If you're gonna order online, go with a place like Big Bad Toy Store or
yeah.
Entertainment Earth or, you know, maybe Hasbro Pulse. Amazon does currently have them available for release on August 1st. So you probably need to be a little patient, but I know sometimes those can suddenly change without warning.
Yeah, every once in a while bumps up a month.
But yes, he is available in some places still for pre-order. He is shipping from some places. Do not count on finding any Titans in stores anymore, because that is an awful high price point for stores to want to dedicate space
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
He does look fun, though. Tidal Wave!
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. I really do want him, but goddamn, the price is a lot.
It's $200.
Yeah.
It's a solid
yeah.
$200. So, for a boat.
Yeah.
Speaking of prices, as a quick note, Target does seem to have started lowering some of their standard prices on Transformers.
Yeah, and Walmart has also started lowering them, too. Well... I think there may be another thing unrelated that, like, Walmart has been overcharging, so they're forced to lower prices on a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of the case with Target,
yeah.
too. They're getting to a point where things just aren't selling because nobody wants to pay that much. I know I picked up the Studio Series Ratchet for retail was $30, and then they were having the sale at the time, so that was a nice little discount. But yeah, they've brought Voyagers down to 30. The big exciting one is they've brought Leaders down to 35.
Okay, that seems like a lot. Because wasn't it like 52 or something?
They were like 50-something, like 55 or so. So that's
yeah,
a pretty significant discount.
It was like 54 or something. It was just
I mean, they do seem to be pretty
number.
Backed up with Dreadwings and Armada Megatrons.
Hmm.
So they probably want to get rid of those, but they don't want to clearance them.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in Dreadwing or Armada Megatron, or you happen to get lucky and they have something like, I don't know, Laser Optimus or something around, you can get those at a pretty decent discount. So that's worth looking in on if you've been holding off on getting any of those, because they are pricey. They are less pricey now. We are also seeing some in-hand images now of that four-pack, the Cliff Jumper Picks a Fight He Can't Win four-pack.
Yeah. Well, at least he's not an Energon zombie in this pack.
I guess. But I don't know. That was kind of fun when he was an Energon zombie.
Cliff Jumper Picking a Fight He Can't Win is kind of Cliff Jumper.
Yeah, like, that's...
it's his thing in all continuities.
It is in character. So we have a toy prototype colors Tarantulas, so he's like bright orange and green.
Is kind of hideous, but I'll take it. It looks good in spider mode because it's an orange spider.
We have Cyberverse Tarn, who has a purple redeco of Legacy Bludgeon Sword. I know
the colors are not that different from Tarn, but
they're fine. Interesting. I know you have not seen Cyberverse.
No. I know Tarn exists. Isn't he like a mass production or something?
Yeah, he's a generic. Yeah. I think there's one weird that's like individual, but it's Tarn been a little Prime. While.
But he's a Viacon.
I need to rewatch Cyberverse, but also I don't know.
We're going to do that when we get to it on
the podcast. Are other things I could be doing. That's fair.
I feel like if I do get that set, I'm just going to try to get a different head for Tarn and repaint him into something.
Ooh. Did you get the primary release Tarn?
Yeah, I got the regular one. That's why.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I got the regular release Tarn. I
forget where he is, but I have him.
There are toys that I will pick up if I see them at retail, and there are toys that I will pre-order to make absolutely certain that I get one, and he was on pre-order.
I think so, yeah.
So, yeah. And also, there is Squeeze Play. So, surprise!
Like, Squeeze Play is like the for me, it's like the main showcase of the set. Well, Cliff Jumper will be awesome, too, because I like the chase mold. But Squeeze Play out of Mind Wipe is crazy, but it works in robot mode. The beast mode,
I mean, his beast mode, as someone who had the G1 one, his beast mode was always kind of...
Yeah, his beast mode wasn't that great to begin with.
It was adequate.
It was there.
It was an alleged beast mode.
Yeah, plus I already have the Fangry, so I might as well get Squeeze Play.
Yes. Also, did they... I guess the date for Season 2 of Earthspark... did we know that last week?
I
know we had the trailer.
We had the trailer. I don't know if we had the date.
Got a cat scratching at plastic right behind me. The date, as a reminder, is June 7th, so... Benjamin, can you not do that? Thank you. He's just looking at me like, you want me to do that more? Okay, I'll do that some more. Yes,
I do as like a reminder. Cliff Jumper has his little bull horns from Prime.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very Prime looking Cliff Jumper.
Yeah.
I think the only Cliff Jumper I got from the original Prime toy line was the zombie one. So.
Was there a regular one? I don't even remember.
I think the regular one might have been like that first edition.
I don't know.
It's been a while.
I would almost think like the regular one might have been just like a Japanese exclusive or something.
It's been longer than you want to think about.
Yes.
Dark Energon. There needs to be more Dark Energon. Just in general, in the world. So, that is all the exciting toy... Oh, one more exciting toy news. I forgot about...
Oh, right, yes. The other thing.
Yeah,
the continuing in the studio series movie line, the original animated movie with the dead Autobots.
Why? Why did they do these?
I really do like the Brawn one because he has a hole in his shoulder.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's the 5mm peg or something where you could stick a blast effect in there.
Yeah, it's actually sized for a blast effect, so you can have a blast effect of his shoulder.
He really should come with a blast effect of smoke coming out.
He should. Ratchet also has a hole in the middle of his chest, which I assume Ironhide also had, but you could put a blast effect. And it actually shows, it was either on the back of the package or in, like, the promo art. Yeah, but it showed
a
him with
effect attached. Yeah.
Why? Why did they? The last ones ended up at Ross.
I don't. But I want that stupid brawn.
Yes, it's on the back of the package. It's like a little inset image of Ratchet getting his chest blown. I can understand Prowl because Prowl is an asshole, but why yeah. Ratchet? I don't want to see Ratchet dying.
Well, no, it's not a deathly wound. His window's just broken. He could still be kicking ass. Kicking Starscream in the face.
Yes. As he should. Just gonna put some purple paint on him, and now that's kind of tempting.
Yeah.
I am impressed with how miserable Brawn looks. Like, the anguished expression. I mean, both of them have some pretty anguished expressions.
There was a regular release of Cliffjumper. Oh, he was a first edition. You were right. Okay.
Okay.
I never saw that toy.
Yeah, the first editions were... The first editions just kind of came and went. I know I had to go... I mean, I got the first edition RC at retail, but it was...
I got the Starscream and I think the RC?
It was a lot of trouble. It was not easy. Don't even talk about the Bulkhead Man. That was rough. That one, I think I had to get a Canadian to sell me one at BotCon. It was rough. So yeah, for some reason, Hasbro is determined to continue selling these toys of your favorite characters dying horribly.
They're doing it for all the Autobots. When are we going to get disintegrating Starscream?
Or just
pile of dust with a crown in a box.
I might have to get that for my nephew who hates Starscream for all the reasons that you're supposed to hate Starscream. So yeah. That's fair. But man, yeah, that sure is a thing that they keep doing. Also, as a brief aside, Super 7 is doing another prototype Unicron in like discolored colors.
Weird, freaking. I guess there were like original colors of when he was the entity or something in some production art. But to me, it just looked like he kind of looked like a Kamen Rider helmet that was opened up and became a robot.
To me, it just...
Because it's like green with red eyes on his crotch.
It just looks like he's been like sitting in a window in the sun.
Discolored.
It's not great, but yeah, I guess it falls into the category of stuff that someone must be buying because they keep making it.
Maybe.
So, speaking of things that someone must be buying, I suppose it's time to move on to comics.
Oh, yes. I went to the comic shop today to try to get the trade of the first volume that was supposed to come out this week or last week. My comic shop did not have it. I think I like a month ago I had mentioned like I would like the trade, but did I guess I didn't put it on the list.
I was gonna say, did they not order it at all, or did they say if they sold out?
They got like two or three, and they sold out.
Oh, did they only order two or three, or did they just get two or three?
Yeah, apparently. Okay. Yeah, apparently they didn't actually put like that I wanted it down or something. I don't know, maybe that miscommunication or something. Anyway, but they did have the first six issues still sitting on the shelves, so I got the first six issues.
That's because they keep reprinting those. You said issue one is like a sixth printing or something?
Issue one is the sixth printing. Issue two is the fourth printing. Issue three is the third printing. Issue four is also the third printing. And I just now realized that the third printing, like, has a wraparound cover of presumably more issues than the two I have. So I missed the one and two, at least, of those.
It's a lot of printings.
Yes! I mean, that does happen for first issues and stuff, but that it's still going. The third printing of the fourth issue. It's like, it must be doing exceptionally well.
Well, it has been nominated for an Eisner Award.
I mean, understandably so. I just marathoned the first four issues, and it is good. It is a good read in quick succession. Mm-hmm. I don't know how each issue would have done individually, but it does seem like there's a lot of action in each one, and it's fun. It's, oh my god, the art.
It's definitely...
The art is the best part.
a little slow to read a month at a time, and I kind of feel like I should switch to the trades, but yes, it was nominated in Best Continuing Series alongside, for some reason, entirely DC books, which, I don't know, as a Marvel person, I don't know how I feel about that.
It could be possible, but I haven't touched DC books other than maybe a couple since they rebooted the New 52 shit. Because they killed the Power Girl comic I was reading.
I'm looking at this, and three of the four writers on the other nominations are people who I know have done Marvel stuff.
Well, that's happened over the last few years. Guys who were doing a lot of, like isn't Jason Aaron at DC now or something?
I think he is doing something for DC.
Or he's doing stuff for both.
But it's, the other nominees are Birds of Prey by Kelly Thompson, Nightwing by Tom Taylor, who I'm not familiar with, Shazam by Mark Wade, who our buddy Rob would have some things to say about, because he is primarily known as a Spider-Man writer. And Wonder Woman by Tom King, and I assume that's the Tom King who is known for the recent Vision stuff.
Yeah, Tom King's stuff's supposed to be really great.
So and then Transformers by Daniel Warren Johnson. I did like the art. I feel like the story is... it's definitely got a vibe that I like, because I own a Subaru and long for the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, the story so far, after reading four issues, it's like, it's very basic and in some ways predictable, but it's fun and energy-filled, and oh my god, like, that he keeps consistently having Optimus Prime do wrestling moves is great. Like, the first time we see Optimus Prime, he does a clothesline and a pile driver.
I'm not, like, suplex, a wrestling person.
I mean, there's probably a few other things he does that are also wrestling moves, but it was very, like, energetic and physical. Lots of good punches and kicks, too. Like, his action stuff is, so freaking good.
I kind of feel like I'm always going to be a little bit biased against the writer-artists, because it always feels a little like they're just trying to write the things they want to draw over,
I'm biased for that.
I would rather, I literally am a former editor, so I'm very narrative driven and character driven, and I'm just like, why does Optimus Prime even know wrestling moves? That's not dignified. Optimus Prime should be dignified.
The best combo is probably a writer and an artist who work together, where the writer figures out how to do shit that the artist wants to do that looks awesome. And whereas this is all artist telling a good story while drawing shit he really wants to do that looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do like the art. I do like the art, but on the other hand, I am not a person who prioritizes art over writing. So, and like I said, I like the Pacific Northwest vibes. Mm. It kind of reminds me of the point in G1 where Ratchet's just kind of hanging out and, like, helping some campers heat up their hot dogs, and it kind of has that kind of vibe, which I like, but...
It's very early G1 where it's minimalist because the cast isn't that huge yet, and the cast is even smaller here.
It needs to keep going. Some things need to happen now.
Yeah, we need to expand out the story, but it's like, the Decepticons are so fucking violent. So are the humans.
They're pretty bad. I mean, Soundwave, I don't think you got to the part yet with Soundwave.
No, I haven't gotten to the part where Starscream kicks the cat.
And unfortunately, I have been poking around the website I refuse to call anything but Twitter, and getting spoiled on things. But I have read up to the most recent one, because...
Which is 8?
My comic shop is like 45 minutes away, and I only get over there once every month or so. So I have not picked up the new issue, probably picking it up next weekend. But
there was well, I might have a couple nitpicks with minor things in the comic. There was one page I fucking hated. Where the hell was it?
Was it about Starscream? Because
no,
he's a pretty bad Starscream. I mean, it's a good Starscream, but again,
he's so evil.
A hateable Starscream.
Such a good hate. That's a thing where, like, I so read it in Chris Latta's voice. It's hard to tell, like, how much that was entirely intentional or just my brain and the fact that it worked so well, but it worked so well. No, the first issue when you have to rotate a page sideways.
Oh, yes.
I haven't had to do that in a comic book in a long freaking time that I at least did I remember, and it pissed me off. Like, it's a good page. It's good laid out that way. But did you have to rotate and then turn it quickly back to get the action of the next page to work? No.
I mean, my mention of having to actually go to the comic shop, I am getting these as physical copies. But I can see that being... I mean, it's a nice idea.
That might be more annoying on... No, that might work, but you're digital. It just...
No, it would definitely work worse, because if you turn it sideways...
Well, no, if... Like, tablet it wouldn't is be going turned to... sideways. It would just be a splash page, presumably.
Well, yeah, but then it just shows everything very small.
Yeah.
You have to, like, zoom in. And what I was thinking was you turn the tablet sideways, and it's like, oh, are you turning it sideways? Here you go. And that's a pain.
No, but, like, what you're complaining about, like, artists working to do things by panel for them. Like, was it the second issue with the deer? Yeah, with the deer, when there's just that one little inset panel that's like place where he places the deer down. It's like that's a thing that a writer might just completely overlook, but it's like the artist thinks it's like he was holding the deer, have to put it down, I'll make a little inset panel, and like it has weight.
Mm-hmm. I did think of that scene when I hit a deer in my car a couple months ago.
Also, the coloring is really fucking great.
The coloring is very nice. That is
not like G1 Marvel minimalist, but it has a feel similar to that, and that the lighting is cartoony and harsh.
It is,
which works really well with the scratchiness of the inks.
Apparently, a colorist who works with that artist a lot named Mike Spicer. So he is referred to on the wiki as his longtime collaborator. So he is probably well versed in the best way to color his art.
Yeah.
I mean, I say I like the art. I'm a very like indie comic sort of like I definitely don't need art to be clear and literal and photographic. It does have very, like, 90 indies comic vibes, which I enjoy a lot. I think I think the line work would hold up in black and white, which is, to me, something that I say as a compliment.
Yeah, there are pages of this that make me think, oh, if this guy actually draws ink on paper, I would love to buy a page.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he might.
It's probably
I do wonder if he's like someone who would go to Transformers conventions or because I don't know I don't know, he kind of feels like someone who is doing this for the comics community and not Transformers nerds,
but like the way he's doing this, it feels like he is also to a degree a Transformers nerd.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I bought a Hiss for my Dreadnoks, but I don't feel like I know enough about Dreadnok lore to definitively write canon comics for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can like a thing and not necessarily know enough to be satisfying for fans.
If you wrote a Dreadnoks comic, it would be the cartoon versions.
Yeah, there's that too. There's that too.
They would be zany.
I need, speaking of things coming out in trade paperback, I may have to get the Marvel G.I. Joe collection they're doing just so I can actually. I mean, I can also acquire those comics through other means, but I should also consider purchasing them legally.
Yeah.
Which is a thing one should do when one has the option to do so and the means to do so.
There's a picture on the wiki of the artist writer with a large pile of Transformers. I think he'll be fine coming to a convention.
We'll see. I mean, I think he'd be fine going to, like, you know, San Diego or something.
Yeah, well, depending upon where he lives, I don't know. We may not see him in Canada.
Yeah. Oh, Canada. Gotta go to Canada, hang out with British nationals, and it's gonna be great.
In, like, I think it was his first major comic. Like, in Murder Falcon, the main character's band is called Bruticus.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's pretty good.
It's spelled differently, but...
Mm-hmm.
Still.
I mean, we'll see. I do feel... I mean, I feel like... And I was actually... I was gonna rewatch some of Earthspark leading up to the next season coming out. And I think it's interesting how it feels like the stuff for kids is more interested in respecting the past while moving forward. Yeah. And the stuff that's for adults who presumably have heard all of these stories before just keep retreading the same stories.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, nostalgia sells, apparently.
Yeah, but, I mean, apparently nostalgia gets you an Eisner nomination.
Yes.
Which is wild.
That works.
I mean, I guess best continuing series doesn't... I mean, that's a whole package.
Hmm.
That doesn't single out the artist or the writer or anything. It's just specifically for the series. So that's... okay. Sure. I mean, the art's pretty good. I would say that the art gives it extra.
Murder Falcon is an actual Falcon man with a cyborg arm.
Sure.
It's one of those comics I've heard of, but never seen. Like, it came up on a bunch of comic book podcasts. I haven't listened to it forever. But
I've been too out of comics since the comic shop here closed. I'm trying to decide whether I want to, how much of the new X-Men stuff I want to pick up now that that's rebooting again.
Again? Is the Krakoa stuff done?
Yes.
Okay.
So, if you wanted to jump in, I do appreciate that they did not give Gail Simone the comic with Cyclops in it.
Oh, yeah. All right, Gail Simone's writing one.
Betsy and Rachel are going to be in X-Force now. So I guess I have to read that. About the ladies. Yeah, actually, interestingly, I look at the nominations for Best Writer, and you have another nomination there for Tom Taylor doing Nightwing, another one for Kelly Thompson doing Birds of Prey, another one for Mark Waid's stuff. And then G. Willow Wilson and Mariko Tamaki and Stephen Graham Jones. So it's the whole package it's being nominated for. And apparently comic shop owners have a lot of say in this, so they're probably just excited that people are coming in to buy this because apparently it's selling like crazy. So, it's fine. I'm not going to stop reading it. I'm not as mad about it as I am about Void Rivals just refusing to have things actually happen.
I saw the most recent Void Rivals had, like, Springer on the cover, and for a second I was like, ooh, maybe I should pick up... Oh, I probably shouldn't.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing, is it makes me... It's like when people complain about queer baiting and something. It's like, this is Transformers baiting. This is robot baiting.
Yeah.
It's, we're promising you, we're putting in some Transformers content that's very surface level and not actually that good, just to make you buy this.
We're like Wolverine baiting. Like, remember when Wolverine was on the cover of so many goddamn comics?
Yeah, as someone who got into the Marvel UK imprint back in the day, I very much remember when Wolverine was on the cover of everything.
Yeah, only now it's more diverse. Hey, it's Jetfire, it's Springer, it's whatever.
It's like, hey, pick up this issue of Motor Mouth and Kill Power. It's got Wolverine. Pick up this copy of Wild Thing. Pick up this copy of Dark Angel. It's got Wolverine on it. I read all of those. I read so much of that stuff. I was like 14, and I was so dumb. So yeah, that was a whole thing. So yeah, I mean, it's fine. I'll continue reading it.
Hey, it's fine. It's good.
I'm probably still going to continue reading Void Rivals because, I don't know, I'm a sucker and I hate myself.
I was tempted to get the Cobra Commander book, but again, I don't need it.
I've heard good things on that one. I've heard you might like that one. But
probably.
I don't know. I think that's showing up in my poll intermittently. I may have to adjust my poll settings at the comic shop when I set up all the X-Men stuff. Gail Simone, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So I think that is it for this week. We are actually coming in under the hour mark, so that's a nice change. That's what happens when we record in the middle of the night, because my schedule's wonky.
And we're more tired.
Yes. Yes.
And hopefully we'll have a regular stasis pod at some point in the near future. Oh, and a Patreon. Things have just been bumpy.
We are watching Masters of the Universe, the old live-action movie for our Patreon. That is at iconunderground.com.
Oh, yeah, I still have
and
to watch
Patreon
that.
Is patreon.com/iconunderground. Yeah, it's a lot of movie, and it does not stop and tell you what's going on.
No, I could probably, like, do the episode without rewatching it. I think I saw it enough in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, okay.
But I should probably watch it again.
I somehow never actually sat down and watched it at any point prior to watching it for this, so...
It was on TV a bunch.
Yeah!
Or maybe it was on HBO, and I saw it, like, a couple times there before it got into syndication.
We did not have premium cable, I will tell you that. Mm.
Well, I just accidentally had the HBO for a decade.
Oh, oops. You turned it on. Like that time we accidentally just had one of the pay-per-view channels. And my dad didn't tell us until, like, a couple weeks later, because first it had just had, like, Rob Roy. And he was like, no one here wants to watch Rob Roy. And then the next month it had Congo, so then he let us know.
Like the local cable package, like, every once in a while it would, like, turn on free, like, here's free Showtime for a week, and then it would take it away. But they turned on HBO once and never turned it back off.
Ooh.
And I don't think we ever paid for it.
That sounds nice.
Yes.
See, we had something like that, except what it was called was My Dad's College Buddy had HBO.
Oh. I thought you were about to say, like, well, we had a box.
And a Betamax recorder. Because we had Betamax at the time.
Oh.
So, yeah. But, yes, that is it for this week. Hopefully, even if we gotta do this in the middle of the night, we can keep up with this, because news pods are fun.
Yeah,
short, quick.
Hopefully we can keep them short, and, yeah, we'll do them every once in a while as news progresses and we get a new movie.
Yes, on my birthday!
And this will be something to do when we're at the convention, if we can get audio to work.
Just not on my birthday. Oh, I have so much tech stuff. I'm bringing so much computer equipment. It'll be amazing.
Okay, good. Yeah, because you're bringing a laptop, and my Chromebook might cut it, but I don't know how to record audio on it.
I'll set up some extra laptops, except they'll all have Linux on them, so...
Whatever.
Congrats. You get to learn Linux.
Whatever. Just bring a decent mic. A snowball might work for recording multiple people.
We will find out.
I haven't tried.
Just, all right.
Like, huddle around it somewhere. I don't know.
So that is it for this week. Until next time, good night.
Good night. Maybe this will come out Saturday.
Maybe.
We'll find out.
board. Now make sure squiggles are squiggling, and I guess today is Friday, so today is the date.
The 24th.
Buddy, come on, please. Oh, now he's going to rub up against the hiss, which is a mistake, because the hiss has been treated with bitter apple. So the cats don't chew on my $300 dreadnought tank. I mean, mine's dreadnought tank. All right. Ready? Are we satisfied that everything is functioning properly?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that Rocky, can you go do something else? He says no. He says he needs to do this right now. It causes as much trouble as possible. All right. So I guess we can start off with... go back to that.
Why are my wiggles so damn tiny? Oh, no, I guess I was further from the mic. They're there. They're just small.
I guess we can start off with the Beast Wars soundtrack and then the reactivate delay and then the toy news wrap-up, and then we'll talk comics.
Yeah.
Try not to take all night, except that's a lie. We will. Rocky.
We
he is
going to
fuck
bit,
up my mic.
Be fine. It'll
you
be
are going to fuck up my mic, buddy. Come on. He's like, yes. Yes, I know. Come on. Down. There we go. This is what happens, is they rub up against the mic cable and it wiggles, and then my computer decides that it's not talking to the mic anymore, and it's annoying. Hmm. All right. Okay. I am ready. Ready?
Yes, ready, go. We're already recording. Okay. So.
Right. Well, that's just to test the schools. Okay.